Thank you. So we're going to get started with the panel discussion tonight. First of all, I would just like to ask, if you don't mind, if you have a cell phone or a PDA, if you could just turn that off now so it doesn't ring during the middle of the presentation, that'd be great. I'm Brett Lippman. I'm the director of the Drawing Center. I want to welcome you to, again, this event this evening. The exhibition that's up currently is called Drawn from Photography, curated by Claire Gilman, our curator. This is actually the last day of the show. It will close tomorrow evening, so if you do have a chance, if you had a chance before to take a look, and surely at the end of the talk, we'll leave the gallery open for a little bit if you want to take a quick peek at the show before it goes. I would first like to thank Armel Pradier, the Director of Visual Arts and Architecture for the Cultural Services of the French Embassy in New York. Without her support and guidance, we would really not be here tonight. So thank you, Armel. When she had contacted me about the project, of course, the Drawing Center has had a history with Yona Friedman. We made an exhibition with him in 2007, which I'll talk about in my brief opening remarks. But it was something that I immediately felt was appropriate for this institution. And surely, Yona's work really pushes the boundaries, I think, in terms of ideas about drawing and architecture. The event celebrates tonight the recent exhibition, touring exhibition, and publication of Spatial City, an Architecture of Idealism, that used Yona Friedman's theoretical project Spatial City as a point of departure. This is a very unique collaboration between FRAC, and we have several of the directors here this evening, and several artists represented in that collection, as well as curators and artists from cities Milwaukee, Chicago, and Detroit in the United States. Tonight we will hear from the following panelists who participated in this project: Nicholas Frank, the curator at the Institute of Visual Arts at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Sylvia my French is very poor, so I have to apologize, Laurence Gâteau, and Emmanuel Latrelle. Thank you. Directors of the FRAC of different regional museums, and hopefully this evening also during their presentation they'll explain how FRAC works for the American audience. I think it's a unique system which we're not exactly knowledgeable of, so that would be terrific. And also the artist Christine Salamuka, who made a specific project with the art and architecture students in Milwaukee for the Institute of Visual Arts in Milwaukee. Before we begin, I wanted to take a couple of minutes and just give a very brief biographical sketch of Yona Friedman and also describe the exhibition that we had here in the Drawing Center in 2007. Yona Friedman was born in 1923 and is one of the most important and influential figures in the theorization of architecture today, a key voice on the topics of globalization, migration, sustainability, and spontaneous architecture. His drawings and theoretical writings combine sociology, economics, mathematics, philosophy, and art to advance an idea of design with the utmost respect for the individual and the environment. In 1956, Friedman participated in the 10th Congress, International Congress of Architecture in Dubrovnik, Croatia, where he presented his manifesto, Mobile Architecture, published that in 1958, and later elaborated that in Spatial Cities. Friedman settled in Paris in 1957 and began exchanging ideas with colleagues, other architects like Jean Prouvé, Constant, and other figures he met during the conference in Croatia. From 1964 to 74, Friedman served as a visiting professor at several universities, including London's Architectural Association School of Architecture, Harvard, MIT, Princeton University, and the University of Michigan. In 1975, there was a retrospective of his work at the Musée d'Art Moderne de la Ville de Paris, and through the next two decades, he lectured and exhibited internationally and was commissioned by UNESCO to make various studies of housing issues in third world countries. In 1999, a major retrospective of his work was organized by the Netherlands Architecture Institute, and in 2002, he participated in Documenta 11 in Kassel, Germany. Throughout Friedman's long career, he has developed theories that extend the possibilities and responsibilities of architecture to include such issues as responses to poverty and refugees, critical group size for communications, and individuality and self-reliance in the creation of structures. Through his teaching and activities and publications, Friedman's theories have been widely disseminated, and his influence as a futurist and visionary on subsequent generations of artists and architects can be traced in many areas, especially in the development of the analysis of sustainable and self-initiated architecture in South America and Eastern Europe. The Drawing Center was proud to have presented his work in 2007. Yonah Friedman, About Cities, was exhibited in our drawing room gallery. The exhibition was curated by our curator at the time, Catherine Carl, and it showcased Friedman's urban sociological concerns and his urban design innovations, and was also his first solo exhibition in the United States. Friedman designed the exhibition and its accompanying adjustable cardboard display units in conjunction with the New York-based Normal Architecture Office, who also shared his interest in making simple, portable, and flexible structures from cheap, everyday materials. His method of drawing with pictograms and photocopying as presented at the Drawing Center communicated complex notions with a directness and adaptability that invites implementation of his ideas in unanticipated ways. So with that said, I think we should launch right into the program. And first, Nicholas Frank is going to give a very brief discussion of the genesis and the history of the Spatial City Project and Friedman's legacy. So Nicholas, I'm going to give you this microphone.
Actually, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. It's lovely to see familiar faces in the audience. We have people here from Milwaukee, believe it or not, and Detroit, and some of the other locales where the show took place. So thank you again for coming. When I first began research on Yonah Friedman, oddly, this is about, I guess, a total of four and a half years ago, oddly there was not that much information available in the United States, including on the web, which struck me as strange. And since then, I think the interest in Friedman's work and ideas has, it's fair to say, exploded, which I think is deserving. And well, it's oddly compressed. But that's this is the show at Innova. You'll see examples of the exhibition that formed from all of this research at all three of its locales, which were at Innova in Milwaukee, at the Hyde Park Art Center in Chicago, and at MOCAD in Detroit. So I've about six ideas that I want to say at once, so I'll try to take them one at a time. But I missed the show here in 2007, the Yonah Friedman show. That was the beginning of my research once I learned who Friedman was. The show's looks brilliant. I wish I could have seen it in person, but it's typical of his Friedman's ideas of provisional design, using very simple materials. Once, when you see one of his drawings, one of his designs, you apprehend its totality immediately. You see its functionality, its flexibility, and the ideas that he's portraying about human interaction with architecture are immediately apparent. I think the fact that we're at the Drawing Center right now is perfectly appropriate in that, as Brett said earlier, you know, architects work so closely with drawing. It's one of the best ways to regard drawing as an idea. And I think drawings are the closest material thing that we have to ideas. I first saw Friedman's work in drawn form in the collection of Fraxalt in Orléans. Immediately his drawings took my imagination and gave me the entire basis for formulating the ideas that animated Spatial City. I started looking for similar artists working with utopian ideas and in contemporary French art, and I found that that was very difficult. I'm not saying that France is any less optimistic than any other place, but many of the contemporary artists were working in a rather cynical mode. Of course, that's true here as well. And it's the result of, you know, our many failed utopian ideals are piling up. So now we're living atop of that. And we have to deal with that. Artists are uniquely qualified to do that because of their range of emotive responses to, massive failures, massive social failures. They can turn something destructive into something hopeful, and I believe artists are automatically or intrinsically optimistic because they believe there will be a world there in the future to look at their work. and to house their work, to maintain it. The show itself, the formulation of the exhibition as it came together, was also inspired by Friedman's ideas of motility, changeability, flexibility, in that once we had the curators on board, Luis Croquer, who's visiting us tonight from MOCAD, and Allison Quinn from the Hyde Park Art Center, we were each charged with the notion of changing the show not only to accommodate our very unique exhibition spaces, which is a common goal of touring exhibitions, but also to bring in artists from the locale, from each locale, Milwaukee, Chicago, and Detroit, and also from each curator's purview. So they could bring, we could each bring our own sensibility about Friedman's ideas, his effects, and how we see similarities to those ideas and counteractants to those similarities in our own curatorial sensibilities. And I have to, you know, Luis is sitting there, I have to thank him for his masterstroke in what served as such an excellent completion to the exhibition was Luis brought in a new Yonah Friedman piece to be installed at MOCAD. It was exhilarating for me to see this, to see this new formulation of these ideas. It was installed brilliantly. You'll see photographs of it. It's a ceiling piece, so it's hovering above your heads as a viewer. Again, this was the clarity of Friedman's ideas is that his cities float above the ground. You know, what more, how more optimistic could one be that this could even be possible or preferable? And yet it touched on ideas that, you know, we're debating so closely these days about sustainability, you know, having a light touch on the ground, not leaving so much of a trace of ourselves as we make our cities, as we make our way through our communal existence. The idea that Friedman originated and animated the ideas for the show is important, and then that idea that to select from the FRAC collections, well, let me just put it quickly. We had plenty to choose from. The collections are amazing. There are, I believe, a total of 22,000 artworks in the FRAC collections distributed throughout France. Each director at each FRAC can really shape their collection so that each region, while also, while being unified under this national umbrella, can also bring a very particular character of contemporary art collecting to that region. It's a model I'm particularly jealous of coming from Milwaukee, which is not known generally as a cultural center in America. But there's a vitality throughout each region in France that I think these FRACs really help you know, maybe change the culture, introduce ideas to parts of the country where they might not otherwise thrive. I personally was thrilled to learn for the first time about work by older French artists, older to me. Elizabeth Ballet, for example, is a brilliant artist whose work I first discovered working on this exhibition. Juan Munoz, I'd say working with Jimmy Durham's work, he was important to me when I was learning first about art in the 1990s, and to be able to actually get my hands on his sculptures. Being an expatriate, he hasn't been that accessible in America, but to be able to access it through the auspices of the FRAC was an amazing experience, personally. That arc piece, coincidentally, on the floor, it's the... I forget the title. Yeah, that's Jimmy Durham right there. I'm sorry, a little addled. And then also the chance to work with a contemporary artist very closely is something I believe that's important to each of our venues. And for instance, Christina Solomuka sitting here next to me came to Milwaukee in a residency that was part of this exhibition, many facets. Oh, here's the Friedman. Here's the Friedman installed at MOCAD. I just can't tell you what a thrill it was to walk in and look up at that thing. It's truly amazing. And the look on your assistant Zeb's Smith's face when I asked him about what it was like to make it and install it, he was glowing. It was really thrilling. And to have these residents, artists in residence, traveling and building new work, engaging with each locale, we really tried to honor the conditions, I guess, set forth by the idea of working with Friedman's ideas, which we'll learn much more about. Yeah, I have a lot of notes here about trying to remember the names of the various cities where the frack reside, and I was just speaking with Christina's friend who lives in New York. His name is Jean-Francois, and he had never heard of Milwaukee. And this is not an uncommon reaction, actually. And I think I had a little trouble at first remembering the name of the town, Carquefou.
Yeah.
Just outside of Nantes. And Metz, I had plenty of trouble always wanting to pronounce it Metz. Milwaukee's a very German town, so you want to hit that T very succinctly. I really already gave you my closing remarks, but I just want to say please enjoy the installation shots. You'll learn more about what each piece is and how it evolves and became part of the exhibition as we go. But I suppose I would like to end by saying that I will thank Yonah Friedman, though he's not here, for inspiring this entire project, which has resulted in our beautiful catalog, which is the reason we're here celebrating tonight. We basically tried to take all of this and contain it between these two covers, and I think the co-editors, Polly Morris and Marie-Cécile Bernichon from the FRAC platform, deserve a hearty round of applause for their achievement.
Thank you.
I'm Sylvie Frou from the FRAC Basse Normandie, and it was like an evidence, this connection between the FRAC and this concept of spatial city, because of the special organization of the FRAC, for 2 points. Organization of the FRAC, which we are not floating yet, but maybe we'll try. We have something connected with nomadism and great adaptability to lot of kind of space and situation. And the other point could be each track has inside its collection work around architecture. And that's why we can be like a sort of evidence. FRAC as this special organization, they have been created in 93 with our famous Minister of Culture, Jack Lamb. Maybe you know him, I don't know. He has this idea, only contemporary art is in Paris, and adventure became in the country in different place, and he wanted to everybody could have access to this contemporary art, and the idea is to make collection in every region, and the region was also a new thing in France. It was a decentralization, we called that like that, and it was an opportunity, a great opportunity, to create collection in every region. And this is the first part. And the originality was also, at the beginning, there was the FRAC has no wall. It was only a collection, and it has to be shown in every place we can find. For example, it could be everywhere but it's not so simple, but we have to manage how it could be possible when we have no wall, no place, specific place, how to show our collection. But now this collection is very big, so as you understand, now we have each frag has a specific place to work, and specific thing for the frag is so to diffuse this collection in the region, to make exhibition everywhere, and it's still the case now. And we are also working a lot with education, so we can always make a movement with this collection. We can go in one place, another place, and exerce our talent everywhere like that. And then second point, this point is very important for us. It's the work we made with education. And we have to. We can go with a piece of art in schools, in university, and so on, and make real exhibition and commentary about the exhibition and so on. In every region, it happened. And maybe Emmanuel could continue to present Frank another way.
What we can add is that you have noticed we say funds, not collections. I just say that because it's a long debate between us in France. Why funds and not collections? Because the principle, the original principle of these collections is to be looking at young artists and emerging artists. So, of course, when you are doing this, you are just going in every direction contemporary art can offer you. And the result is that most of our collection are very open, and diversity is a rule in our institutions. And the other idea is that when you want to make an exhibition, you need a curator who has an idea. And the idea of our collective exhibition abroad is, of course, to have people like Nicolas Franck who can come and look in our funds and make an exhibition, which is always a collection. To make an exhibition is to think together artworks that at the beginning are not done to be together. And this effort of thinking is, of course, the main interest of our job. So since 5 or 6 years, FRACs are together in this association called Platform, and we invite curators from everywhere. We have done exhibition in Germany, in Israel, in Belgium, and this is the first time that someone come from the States and look at these funds and make his own collection. And so we are very happy with that, because all this in France, as in Europe, we can't sell anymore the works when they are in the public collection. This is a very something very very different from the States. We have this it's an old principle of inalienability. I don't know if it's understandable. We can't sell anymore because they are done with public money, and this public money makes this collection to be public. And as a public thesaurus, they have to remain public. And so the question is, with time, we have now older artists in the collection because the FRACs are existing since 30 years. And we have, of course, new young artists every year coming in this collection. And so we have strats of creations. And what I feel in the project of Nicolas Franck is that he has managed with Yona Friedman to take ideas of an older artist and give the sense of his show, of his exhibition, for younger works of younger artists. And for me, well, this is my point of view, what I feel is that it is successful because of that, because of this all this generation, and also with the invitation of by Louis Crocker and Alison Quinn, inviting younger artists of their own situation, it makes another level of creation coming on these already existing works. And so maybe they will be part of one day of the funds of the collection, and this is why this collection are living collections, not only what said Sylvie, because they are moving all over the world and all over the countries, but also because they are mixing people of different generations and different ideas and everything. But it's always this effort of thinking that is, for me, the main important thing. So you can see all the frags one by one. We have one image of the main place, but don't consider the frag as one place. It's a region. It's a space made of many different possibility of exhibition. Most of the time, we find churches or old places to show the work, schools of course, or universities, museums of course. We work also with our museums that are not all having contemporary collections. So we and so, most of some time we are doing this kind of punctuations, working with all collection and making some connection. So maybe the most interesting thing is just to talk with, to hear maybe the artists themselves, because for instance, Christina Solomoka is here. In some of our collection, in my collection in Langue d'Inquisition, we have a piece from her since 10 or you know, 15 years. I don't know how old was the work we have in Languedoc.
Maybe
15 years, something like that. You are very young. And we are just talking about restore this piece. And but Christina is also now having another real career, so maybe she could tell more about her story with Frax and with collections.
Well, I wanted to make a really short presentation, maybe not directly a talk about my pieces in Frag, but give you a little ride in the piece I am Nicholas choose and present, and which was presented in the U.S. So it's all of these images. Not this one. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Okay, this is, the slideshow you're gonna see, it is the piece which was presented in Frag when the piece was realized. So to give you Frag Pays de la Loire. Thank you. I have been a little bit lost in the beginning with the images. So, to give you...
It was during the International Studio in Frag de Pays de la Loire.
Yeah, to give you a few details about the realization of this piece, the first, the images was taken in my residency I make in Brazil. In São Paulo is in Edificio Copan, which is like a symbol of São Paulo. It's a building was realized by Oscar Niemeyer. And then after this residency, I was invited by Laurence Gâteau to the residency in Fac Pays de la Loire in Carquefou. So the second part of the realization of these projects was done there. The images I took in Brazil, it is something which was related for me with the some of the cliché we have from Brazil. So I was interested by this relationship we have when we arrive in the space or in the place or the city we don't know, how we project the image or the idea we have on this city, on this society, and then how the city project on us or give us its own image. So I wanted to play with this kind of basic relationship, basic word playing between the reflection or projection, and also the idea to make light boxes, little bit like a model of the city, and put the images on them. It was like to make the architecture wear the images of whole city. So as you can see, it's really difficult to take a photo of this piece for plenty of reasons. First of all, it's light boxes, so the camera, photo camera, have no the same sensibility as human eye, so it's there a lot of light coming from the light boxes. And also because this three-dimensional piece was done a little bit like a slideshow, so each viewer make his own slideshow walking through and around the piece. So I hope you have an idea about it. I don't know if we make a tour. Is it repeating?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we can go to the night. Yeah, here it is. Well, I wanted to present you tonight a project I did a few years ago in Nice. This project was an exhibition I make in the space called Dojo. The reason of my presentation is because I think what I'm interested in Yona Friedman's work is probably the way how he's approached the reality and how he make grow out of it the project. And also this idea to propose the open grid and give it to the users and give the possibility to inhabit it. Yeah, okay. So a few words about this particular space called Dojo. It's an exhibition space as well as a workspace. It is an office of a communication agency with an open floor plan situated on the ground level. So this is not my picture. Okay, so to make a proposal there, I had to consider the working activity and to inscribe my project in this particular context. The exhibition and the piece I present cost 3,305 and 74 euros TTC. It is the title of the exhibition and of the piece. It is exact amount of the money we spend to build up the structure. So the structure consisted on a large grid of concrete blocks which divided the office space. So people came there and arranged their working space as they wanted. So this is kind of parallel I wanted to draw between the possibility to approach like bigger scale territory or think about how to put two different grills, existing one, I mean working space and how to propose in this working space something like an art project without being eaten by the activity and without impeach the activity in this space. Okay. If you have questions about the project, and if my English was not really clear.
That's it.
Okay.
So maybe I did want to ask a couple of questions, and then we can open up the floor to discussion. But maybe starting with Nicholas, what was the organizing principle in terms of when you started to look with at the collection? How did you start to piece together, using Yona Friedman's ideas, what works you were going to isolate and focus in on? It seems like a lot of the work was sculptural from what I see in the book. So drawing played a role, but it wasn't the fundamental role, because it seemed like you were more interested in a kind of spatialization and maybe the flexibility. And also, I don't know if Luis, you also went to France as well, and maybe was the show co-curated as a group?
There was an initial group of works, and then each curator added work to the group, so it grew as it moved. But the right, it's a good observation. The bulk of the show is sculpture and video, and I thought that it's actually a rather small selection of Friedman's drawings would be representative of his ideas, and then also would be the main graphical element of the exhibition, and that the rest of it would be like architectural renderings to realization. The rest of it would be in three-dimensional form or in the kind of motion reality that video provides. So I like the, there's no strict duality to it, but the idea that there's a sort of polarity going on, we tried to draw several polarities within the show, like the above-the-ground architecture of Friedman and the very solidly on-the-ground idea of sculpture, optimism, pessimism, or cynicism. These words all have different definitions in different places, which I find also animates the show, wherever it goes and whoever speaks about it. The word idealism is troubling in some quarters, but in this sense, I maybe was using it in the American sense, or maybe the Midwestern American sense, where we're hopelessly idealistic, I suppose.
To me, one of the things about Friedman's work is that although, again, the Drawing Center was very engaged in this project because of the way that he uses drawing, both as a conceptualization and from, I think, thought to paper. The interesting thing about Friedman's architecture is it actually breaks down and drawing can no longer contain it. So there comes a point in which you actually do have to spatialize it, and it does have to become three-dimensional in order to really fully realize the project as a user end project, meaning that the space is always going to be variable. So if you draw something, you've already made it static. I think the pictograph pieces, in which it's really about the communication of very simple ideas, in a way is the great breakthrough of Friedman in terms of drawing. And these kind of comic book pieces, which you might be familiar with, are so concise and really quite understandable for everyone in the world. The other thing I was thinking about too, which is a little divergent, but the idea of the regional museums, the various collections, and also this overlay of Milwaukee, Detroit, and Chicago, particularly today in the U.S. with the political situation, both in Wisconsin and in Detroit, you have, and also I think in France, in terms of various regions, in terms of the politics, you have this kind of very fractured world that we're in. And I think Friedman is a wonderful kind of great way to explore the fractures that we have and tying things together. So sorry, just some kind of random thoughts.
Yeah. I was interested in the regional, always interested in the regional. I do think that Friedman's work is fundamentally about cooperation. So it forces a way of looking at ourselves as members of a community, not as individuals. And you're right about the cartoons. I think they're absolutely fun and brilliant, and they place his work firmly in the place of potential. And like you say, to it sort of puts the onus on us to imagine what it would be to realize any of these projects in real space and time. And the time element is so much a part of them, as Christina mentioned, that things change and that our solid structures should imagine that and accept that as well. I don't want to take the entire floor.
No, well, your idea on Freeman seems to correspond also to this idea of institution that have to collect individual things, individualities, and make not a global thing, but to always to make things connected together. And I think that in all, in this specific situation of France, you know, the FRACs have been created because in France, you know, there is a city, you know, it's Paris, but the rest maybe you don't know as well as Paris. It's a large body in a way, but these different countries in France are not so well known, and they have to exist and they have to be connected together also with kind of cultural network. And I think that there are different levels of consideration of today. The world is not global, we know that, but it tends to be global, but it's always singular, and we need to make connection every time. And I really feel this project as a great success because of that, because we have been deep in this consideration about singularity and the connection of singularities. And it is a lot of energy for that, and we are very thankful to all of you to have understood this network. But maybe we have can we start again the FRACs?
Right, you can look at the map of the FRAC regions and see it's a drawn because, network. Mm-hmm. So it looks a lot like Friedman's drawings.
Also, the idea we have to remind you is that the fact that we work as with very young artists. And the project of Christina has to remind that we are not collecting objects. We are collecting sometimes ideas or experimentations. And of course, our public system in France is connected also with the market, but not only with the market. And so our collection are full of experimentations, very risky things done by young artists who have just ideas and they want to suggest new possibilities to make works. And so, for instance, in the FRAC of Florence, there are the international studios every year. And Laurence, you invite 10 artists like that, something like that?
Yeah, it's around 6 or 10 artists. And what is interesting, I think it was during 1984, artists like Louise Lawler came in Pays de la Loire, and she produced a very interesting piece. And we have pieces in our collection like that made with directly with artists for our collection. That is, I think, very important to have collection in relationship with living artists, because we FRAC, that is a difference with museum in France. FRAC can buy only pieces of living artists. That is very important. And now in our collection we have artists from the last six decades. That is very original. I think it's not like that in all the place.
You know, Christina, you've traveled many places and made work in many places. I'm just curious to know how do you design work for each particular locale and how that locale affects you? For instance, coming to Milwaukee and producing work there.
It's a question about Milwaukee or in general? About Milwaukee.
I think in general, with the examples you've shown, and also with the idea that Friedman provides a somewhat stable structure that can actually be moved to many different places, and it will accommodate the ideas and effects of every particular place in a different way. So I wonder if that is a way that you think about your work.
Yeah, it's really interesting because there is something we have really in common between artists and architects. This way to approach the context and try to grow out of this context the project. I think the question of the project comes first from this idea to analyze or meet the context or the particular situation. So I don't know, in Milwaukee it was really kind of a particular approach because it was much more work with students from architecture school and the art school. So the idea it was to talk about how to do the project. So we were working on this specific industrial territory, and we were trying to see how we can invent something with similar tools, similar from art and architecture. So this is basically always the question of tools and always the question how to approach the exhibition or work or workshop. Yeah. I don't know if I answer your question.
Maybe we should, if anyone in the audience has a question about the projects, you know, obviously also Luis is here as well.
Yeah,
if you have specific questions about Detroit, Milwaukee, or you know how Frank collaborated with the curators, maybe now is a good time to open it up. Does anyone have any specific questions?
I have one for Luis Crocker. I would like to know, we didn't have time to meet, but I would like to know how you managed to do the show and the connection you have done with the artists in young artists. There was a residency also in your situation. Could you?
Do you want to give some more?
Okay. Come there.
I think just sort of reframing a little bit what Brett was saying. I think that where this project is very different is that usually when exhibitions travel, they are often in different configurations. What this was trying to do was actually that the exhibition itself could grow and that the team was able to also bring variations on a theme. So what Nicholas had done was he had created a body, a skeleton of work that really gave the backbone to the exhibition, and each one of us, Allison and myself, were able to add other works also from the collections of the FRAC. So not only local, but other works from the collections, and also some artists who were in our regions. So I think in Detroit, in Detroit in itself, but also in my reading of architecture, I was very interested in the performance aspect of architecture and its relationship to the body. So a lot of the works that I added to the show had that kind of relationship with people and how people inhabit space. And it was something that was already in the subtext, but then it was brought more to life. And so that performative aspect was both in relationship to the city. So our artist in residence was Katinka Bock, who's a German artist who is based in Paris, and she did a project which you must have seen you must have seen a picture of some cars running over some things, and she she actually created a lot of her work deals with this kind of performative aspect of this sort of private performances, ritualistic performances, and she had often works with ceramic and clay, which is very tied to the ground and to the place where it occurs. And she made these rolls of raw clay and laid them out on Woodward Avenue, which is the Detroit's main artery. And along the length of the avenue, it has three lanes going to the suburbs and three lanes going downtown, and allowed people to run over the clay, making marks on the pieces. And Katinka works a lot with this idea that the pieces are finished by every encounter that they have. So this is also another way of reading Yona Friedman. Every encounter sort of produces something else. So every breakage, every encounter with an oven, with the heat, with this, with the floor, produces a new experience. And that piece was one of three pieces that she produced. But we also included other artists who were local to the different cities. And in the case of Detroit, a young artist, Ben Hall, who did a two pieces, and one of them was a piece of graffiti that was made with discarded fur, and that went directly on the walls of the museum. So that was how we included a little bit. I don't know if I answered the question too.
As the show kind of grew in this open-ended way, did you have the opportunity to contact artists who were living in the collection to discuss with them any relationship that they may have had with Yona Friedman's work, or that wasn't as important in the sense of, you know, obviously they're commissioned artists, but if, you know, did you have an opportunity to speak with Jimmy Durham or to make any kind of contact? Not that he's, in that way.
I wish. No, we dealt mostly with the resident artists directly, and then with the Frock directors mainly. And so we did depend, I think, quite productively on their readings of their own collections and how they felt about the work and how it fit in their own collections and then in a potential context with other work. I really like what Emmanuel said about how artists do not make work to hang together with other work. That's a brilliant statement. It's simple, and yet I've never thought of it in those terms. And so it's odd to expect artists to kind of absorb that entire context and reflect on it. I think some of these artists probably were not so familiar with Yona Friedman or not familiar at all. And, you know, I would be uncertain as to their reading on being in this context. However, as a curator, I think Luis would agree, you know, you try to maintain the autonomy of each individual artist's work within that context, so that the exhibition breathes and expands far beyond your initial ideas and accommodates its own sensibility.
What we did in Detroit was, because, as Nicholas said, rounding up, we asked Yona Friedman himself to do one of the pieces, and of course he doesn't travel. He's very elderly, but he's worked all his life with this idea of instruction. So we were able to create a little sort of homage to him by adding a piece, a wonderful, wonderful video piece by an artist called Camille Arro, and she has done a piece that was filmed inside of Yona Friedman's apartment, and it's a conversation with him. So this very direct dialogue was established, and it's a piece that is, you know, that the camera is moving through his apartment. You actually never see him. You see only the apartment, and at the very end, you get a glimpse of him, and that I thought was a perfect way to bring him in, and to also put some of the earlier work that had been included in the show in a space that was adjacent to this new work that was one of the floating spatial cities.
Well, I'd forgotten that also Yona Friedman had participated in one other exhibition at the Bronson recently, which was Facts, a show that's traveled around now to maybe 9 or 10 different venues. Each venue, curators get to add something more to that show. And when we contacted Yona, he was extremely excited about the idea of Facts again, a series of cartoons and plans. And he was extremely interested in the idea of the show growing over time. So again, that kind of open-ended structure, I think, really fits well, and it's important, I think, in this exhibition to really bring that to the fore, how as it travels from site to site, decisions are made, and it's added to or changed or subtractions, but essentially the network continues to grow in an organic way from the user end, from the curator end and institutional end. Again, we're we're surely open to any comments or questions. What was the reaction to the show in Milwaukee and Detroit? Was it
best show ever?
Best show ever. well, did it engender kind of conversations about new urbanism, about politics?
It was fantastic. Polly Morris, who I mentioned earlier as a co-editor, helped arrange the residency with Christina, which brought in the School of Architecture and Urban Planning in Milwaukee at our university, and that's one of the most forward-thinking parts of the university. They're engaged in all kinds of these provisional neighborhood-based projects, and they took right to this. It opened conversations between Innova and the School of Architecture that would not necessarily have taken place otherwise, maybe have not been possible before that. So just that idea that we were engaged so directly in ways that, you know, people might not have expected Innova to be engaged with the locality made a difference to us in particular. Mostly, though, I remember the incredible opening at MOCAD, which there were thousands of people there. New played, the band.
Noi,
there I go again. And they had the best local craft beer I think I've ever had. So anyway, maybe you can comment on
that. Very well. I think that one of the interesting things about the show is that it's a show that is about dialoguing with architecture, but it isn't an architectural show. So in the beginning, people who went said, "Oh, but that exhibition is not about architecture." And it is, in a very expanded notion of architecture. Certainly in a place like Detroit, where so many conversations are taking place on the ground about space and about living and habitability and reuse of space, I think it sparked different kinds of conversations. A lot of our programming is sort of geared to do that, to think tangentially and really out of the box about things that tend to be very material, because this is, after all, one of the great American cities that sort of, you know, in the process of rethinking itself. So those ideas about collaboration, which is easily said but not so easily executed, are very timely and useful.
Well, maybe we'll end here, and we can continue our conversations informally. That's always the best way, I think, to ask questions. We'll stick around for a couple of minutes. I thank you for coming. I think it's a really interesting and important project, and I congratulate everyone who's involved in it. And we hope to see more projects like this in the United States. So, thank you.
Thank you.